In modeling some of the most successful people around the world, one thing stands out very clearly. They all have a compelling future, something that is driving them forward to use their resources in the present moment, today, for something that they want to generate not only today, but even something bigger in the future. Compelling futures are the key to using the resources that you really have. When we talk about personal power, we can't separate the ability to take action from a reason to take actions in the first place. I've always been fascinated by people who I know have the skills to change their life, even people who've learned NLP, who understand how to change their thoughts, who understand how to change their feelings. They know how to make things better, and they know how to take things that are limiting them and change them. But most of them don't. Most of them do not use their skills. Why? When I looked at that and I looked at my own life and I thought, I am using these, I am making a difference. What's the difference between us? And I think the difference is a compelling future, a reason to do what you know you can do with your life, a purpose. It's one thing to know how to change your life, and that's the first step to creating change. The second key, once you know how, is to have a reason to do so. You've got to have a why, a goal, a passion that is big enough to drive you to use your resources when you need them. Recently, a man came to interview me from a national financial magazine, and the purpose of his article was to document what it was that allowed certain people at a young age to develop financial independence. And in his interview with me, I shared with him the importance of simply modeling people who are successful financially. I told him that in order to succeed financially, one needs merely find someone who's successful, find out what they're doing, and do the exact same things. He said, well, that sounds really great and real easy for you, and all the people I've interviewed like you say it's easy. I say, well, it's not easy, but it is simple. He said, well, that may be simple for you, but it isn't for the rest of us. You're just gifted. You're just lucky. I said, sir, I'm not gifted. I'm not lucky. He said, but look how motivated you are in your life. You're passionate about making things happen. He said, I just don't have that gift, and I don't think the average person does either. I said, the difference between me and other people, the reason I've used all of my resources to produce not only financial gain, but emotional, social, spiritual gain for both myself and other people, is because I've got a reason to do it. I'm driven. I've constantly, consistently set goals for my life. And I told him that goal setting to me is the most important tool that you have. It is the reason to use all that you are. It gives purpose to all human activity. And human beings are goal-seeking individuals. When we aren't seeking goal, when we aren't making progress in the direction of something we desire, we begin to stagnate, and we're all either growing or dying. There's no in between. Besides, the purpose of goals is not to achieve them. The purpose of the goals is in pursuit of a goal, we become even more than we were. And when the bee chases after the nectar in a flower, it doesn't realize that the processional effect is that it pollinates the flowers and allows them to multiply. I think the same thing is true with human beings. Oftentimes, we have a goal to develop ourselves in business or to develop our economics. While we're going for that building of the business, there's the processional effect of jobs that we create, the processional effect of new possibilities in people's thinking, the processional effects of things we aren't even aware of yet. So goals are really, in my mind, what makes the world go round. They give us the reasons. They give us the purpose to take consistent action. Without them, people are listless, and the quality of a person's emotional life begins to deteriorate. When people have no goals, no direction, when there's nothing they're working for, oftentimes they feel down or depressed, and then they begin to try and change those emotions by overeating or doing something else to make momentary change. The only way that life changes long-term is by having long-term goals. There was a phenomenal study done in 1953 at Yale University where researchers interviewed the graduating members of the class and asked them about their goals, asked them if they had a set of written goals for their life with a plan for their achievement. Less than 3% of the graduates of that year had such a goal list or such a plan. An interesting follow-up was done to the study in 1973, almost 20 years later, and the researchers discovered many unique things about this class. They noticed that the group that had goals seemed to be better adjusted emotionally, socially, and in their families. They've also found a measurable difference in economics. 20 years later, the 3% that had written goals when they left the university were worth more in financial terms than all 97% of the class members combined. This is the measurable difference in setting goals and creating directions. So how do we explain there being this much of a difference just because someone has something they're going for? When you make it clear to your mind what it is you want through goal setting, what it does is activate your internal success system. which causes you to take everything that you see, hear, and do in life and become much more aware of how it relates to your purpose. In fact, when you experience goals in advance in enough detail, you literally program them into your nervous system and make them possible. Let me give you an example, something you can try right now in your experience to notice how, by experiencing the goals you want in advance in your mind, you actually begin to make them a reality. Try the following thing. Stand up, if you will, if you're not already. Put your feet so they're pointed straight in front of you. Put your right hand pointing straight ahead with one finger pointing straight in front of you. And what I'd like you to do is just gradually begin to turn to the right without turning your legs, without turning your feet, that is. Keep turning until you comfortably stop behind you. And notice where your finger is pointing on the wall. Don't hurt yourself. Don't stretch. Just go to where it's comfortable. And then come back around. Now, let's create some goals and experience them as being real. Close your eyes, and in your mind, I want you to pretend as if and feel as if your finger is pointing in front of you, and feel yourself turning without actually doing it, just imagining it in your mind, until you go much further than you stopped the first time. Go ahead and try that. Just imagine your finger pointing out, and feel as if you're turning, and you turn easily, and you turn much further than you did the first time, and feel how much further you go. Now, open your eyes. Put your finger in front of you, and now do it for real. Go, see how far you go this time. Go ahead and turn all the way comfortably as far as you can. I think you'll notice, much to your surprise maybe, that you can go a good 25 to 50% farther after you've traced the same experience in your mind in advance. You've literally programmed your nervous system. The same thing happens when you start to take goals and make them real. My life changed not only when I learned how to direct my nervous system, but when I gave myself reasons to do so, when I gave myself something I could get passionate about that would drive me. 3 years ago, when things were not going well, the place I started when I got disgusted with where I was in my life was goal setting. What I did is I sat down and I went through a process that I'll share with you, a process of asking myself questions and making distinctions until I had a clear-cut game plan for what I wanted to accomplish in my life. First, let's go through a couple key fundamentals about goals that are really critical to know. Some people say the key to getting whatever you want is real simple.
How to get whatever you want. Write that at the top of your notes, and as soon as you've got it written down, look up and assume the physiology where you can write very, very rapidly. I've got a lot to give you here. I don't want you to miss any of it. How to get whatever you want. Here we go. Ask. End of notes. In fact, the formula is pretty powerful. It says, ask and you shall
receive.
Yeah, with a formula like that, you think more people would look into it. How many of you believe the formula works? Let me see a show of hands. All of you, great. How many of you have all that you want? So what's the problem? Failure to what? They already asked. So some people, wait a second, I've been asking and I'm still not receiving. Well, maybe you're not asking intelligently. I know the Bible didn't say ask intelligently, but I'm sure that's what it meant. And my first teacher taught me that. He said, you got to ask intelligently. And he taught me a few things about asking intelligently, and over the years I've added a few of my own. Asking intelligently, I think, requires asking in five ways. There are five keys to asking intelligently. And the formula was not bitch and you will receive. You know? Called ask and you'll receive, but you gotta ask intelligently. And bitching is not asking intelligently. Neither is whining, complaining, mumbling, or grumbling. Okay, here are the five keys to asking intelligently. Number one, ask specifically. Ask specifically for what you want. Don't beat around the bush. Be precise. Who, when, where, how, what do you want? Specifically, define it, be precise. The more precise you are, the more you empower your own brain to assist you with the resources you'll need to manifest that result that you desire, as well as you'll be able to communicate to other people what your wants are, and they'll be able to help you more effectively. So number one, you must ask specifically. Number two, you must ask someone who can help you. When I first got taught about asking, nobody told me this one. You gotta ask somebody who will help you, who has the ability to help you. A lot of people want to, but they don't have the ability. So you say, oh, I asked and I didn't receive. You didn't ask intelligently. You got to ask someone who has the ability to help you. For example, if you have terrible personal relationships, would you go to somebody else who has terrible personal relationships and say, hey, teach me what I could do to change my relationships? Doesn't make any sense, does it? And then you ask and it didn't work because you didn't ask intelligently. Would you go to somebody who makes $30,000 a year and say, loan me $3 million, will you? They're going to go, $3 million what? Right? You got to go to somebody who has the ability to help, okay? Here's the third key. Create value for this person first. Don't just ask and expect them to give you something. Intelligent asking is you try and find a way to fill their needs first or a way to connect the two. Maybe what you're going to do is just fill a need. Say, look, if you support me this way, it'll support something that you're involved in, that you feel is important. I know by what I know about you. Maybe you try and do something for them. I know one of my friends met a man. He wanted to become a millionaire, and he found a way that he could make this man $4 million. So I went to him and he said, listen, I know that I can make you $4 million in the next 2 years. And guess how many times this guy probably heard this story, right? He said, but let me tell you something. I have no strings attached. I'll work for free for 2 years. I'll support myself in other ways. But if I make you $4 million, I want you to promise me that you'll give me one. What do you think the guy said? Of course, you're gonna work for 2 years? And he said, what happens if you don't make me $4 million? You pay me nothing. He said, you got a deal. He ended up making the guy $8 million, and the man paid him $2 million. Yeah, because he created value first. That's called intelligent asking. Don't just say, give me this. Figure out how you can fill their needs and then ask, okay? Fourth key, you must ask with congruent belief. That is, you really got to believe that they're going to say yes. If you don't believe they're going to say yes, they're not going to say yes. Because when you ask, your lack of belief will come through. You say, you wouldn't want to help me, would you? And that's not going to assist them. But if you absolutely believe they're going to say yes, and you believe so strongly, then they'll get that. And they'll begin to think, well, maybe, I guess, you know, he must have a reason. They begin to believe that they really should do this. Your belief can affect their beliefs. Your belief can affect their behavior. So you want to get really congruent where you absolutely believe they can't say no. Now, the best way to do that is make sure you're adding so much more value than you're asking for that you know they can't afford to say anything but yes. Okay? And the last one, number five, a lot of people do the first four, but they don't do number five, and that is ask until. There's a neat phrase that I think Dr. Schuller came up with. He said, God's delays are not God's denials. So if you ask, you don't receive right now, just keep asking. Asking intelligently means ask over and over again. Ask in a different way. Have sensory acuity. Don't ask the same person the same thing 8 million times. Maybe it's time you try to ask somebody else. Ask another company, ask another organization. But ask until. See, that's what makes the biggest difference.
This is how we effectively ask. Just as there are five keys to asking, another way of talking about goals that I think is even more effective in programming our nervous system is to call them outcomes. Because truly, how do you feel about goals? Do you always achieve your goals? Probably not. Do you always achieve an outcome? The answer there is probably yes. No matter what the situation is that you're going for, you always produce a result or an outcome. So when you use the word outcome, it creates more certainty in your nervous system and provides a greater sense of certainty that you will achieve this thing you're talking about. Now, just as there are five keys for asking for what you want, I consider there to be five elements to effective outcome development, to developing an outcome that is truly achievable. And here they are. Number one, state your outcome in positive terms. Say what you want to happen. Too often people say what they don't want to happen. They set outcomes like, I want to stop smoking. The challenge with that, of course, is by making that your outcome, you begin to focus on what you don't want. And whatever you focus on consistently, you'll create in your experience of life. So make certain you trade that for, I am now a non-smoker, or I've traded smoking for breathing, or some other positive way of stating what you now want and what you will experience in your nervous system. Two, be as specific as possible. As I just stated, you need to know, how does your outcome look? How does it sound? How does it feel? How does it smell? You want to engage all of your senses in describing the result that you want. The more sensory rich your description of what you want, the more you'll empower your brain to create what you desire. Remember, when you imagined in your mind, turning your body and going further than before, and you really associated to it, and you felt as if it was true, and you saw it as being true, it became true in your real life experience. The same thing is true in setting effective outcomes. You must daily experience the reality of your outcome already being true. You should set a certain completion date for your desired outcome. However, you also want to experience it as already being a reality, so that your brain and nervous system produce whatever actions are necessary to create that result. Number three, you've got to have an evidence procedure. You've got to know, how will you look How will you feel? What will you see? And what will you hear in your external world after you've achieved your outcome? If you don't know how you'll know when you've achieved your outcome, then how do you know you don't already have it? Sometimes people are winning and they feel like they're losing just because they don't keep score. Many goals people have, they've already achieved and they don't even realize it because they haven't been specific about how they'll know when they've got it. For example, many times when I talk with people and I ask them what their goals are in life, they give me very, very general examples. Like they say things like, I want more money. So I go, fine, here's $2, get out of here. You've got to be much more specific than that. Because the truth is, they probably have got more money. They got their goal. They just don't know it because they're not very specific about it and they don't have an evidence procedure for it. Or people say to me oftentimes things like, well, Mr. Robbins, I just like to be happier, or I just like to have peace of mind. Those outcomes are not stated specifically enough. They're very general. In fact, I often say that human language has three forms. There's a form called fluff, there's a form called super fluff, and then there's sensory-specific language. Let me explain to you the differences. If you were to look across the room at me and you saw me sitting in a chair with my right leg crossed over my left, my head tilted slightly to the right, breathing comfortably with my shoulders relaxed. If you were to look at me and describe me by saying, Tony is sitting in the chair across from me, his right leg is crossed over his left, his head is tilted slightly to the right, he's breathing in a relaxed way, his shoulders are relaxed, then you would be using sensory-based descriptions of how I am in this moment. Meaning you would not be interpreting or hallucinating about my experience or how I was feeling. You would just be describing exactly what was going on, and anyone who heard that description could get a picture of exactly how I was in that moment. If instead you looked at me and said, Tony looks happy, Tony looks sad, Tony looks excited, Tony seems joyous, all of those are what we call fluff words, meaning you are describing things based upon your interpretation, and you don't know if that's what I'm feeling just by a look. You can guess, but you don't know for sure. If you looked at me and you said, well, he's kind of like into it today, or I think he got it, or I think, you know, he's kind of like aligned with all that's going on. Those are super generalizations, or what I call super fluff. Now, all of them have their place in human experience, but those kinds of generalizations will not help you if you set goals in that way. You've got to be very specific about what you want so that there's no possibility of misinterpretation. You've got to be so precise in not only what you want, but how will you know when you've got it? For example, do you have the goal of being happy? Well, if that's your goal, I can give it to you right now. It's very simple. Try this. Right now, sit the way you'd be sitting if you felt totally and completely happy. Come on, go ahead and do it. And breathe the way you'd be breathing if you felt totally happy. And say something to yourself in your own mind the way you'd be saying things to yourself if you were totally happy. See what you'd be seeing if you felt totally happy. Make your face look like what it would look like if it was totally happy. Come on, does your face look that way now? Good. Now notice how you feel. Breathe that way, speak that way, see yourself that way, sit the way you feel if you're totally happy. And notice if you've done this effectively and you're not saying something in your mind like, oh, this is ridiculous. If you're saying you're really happy, you're using that tone of voice and moving your body that way, you'll feel totally happy. So cross that one off your goals list. You've got happiness. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I want to be accurate. See, most people don't have an evidence procedure for happiness. Happiness is a state. You can go into any state, any moment in time that you want to. Somebody says, well, what about peace of mind? I've been chasing that for years. That's easy. Let's try it. Sit the way you'd be sitting right now if you felt total peace of mind. Breathe the way you'd be breathing if you felt total peace of mind. See what you'd be seeing in your mind if you felt total peace of mind. Hear what you'd be hearing if you felt total peace of mind. Have your face look like what it would look like if you right now felt total peace of mind. And I think if you're doing this effectively now, you'll find you feel total peace of mind. So cross that one off your goals list. The truth of the matter is, if you have an evidence procedure and you know what it is that allows you to be in peace of mind, and you know how you are when you're feeling peace of mind, then you can go there right away. You don't have to beat around the bush. Clarity is power. Make sure you have an evidence procedure. Here's number four for creating an achievable outcome. Be in control. Make sure your outcome is something that you initiate and maintain. Make sure it's not dependent upon other people having to change themselves for you to be happy. That's not an effective outcome. Make sure your outcome reflects things that you can affect directly. And you can affect directly how you behave and how you feel, and that can impact other people. And that's fine. But make sure that in order to achieve your goal, it doesn't require you change other people, but rather that you direct your own emotion, your own communication, and your own behavior. Number 5, verify that your outcome is something that you really truly want. Make sure it's ecological and desirable. What do I mean by ecological? Well, ecology is really the study of consequences. Many times when we set out on a goal, we don't look at the consequences long-term in our lives, and we really need to do that. See, if your goal is to become a super successful person in financial terms, there's a cost for that, and it's a cost of a certain amount of time. And if you also have a goal of being the best parent in the world, there's a cost to that too. And best you look at how the goals you're setting now are going to impact you long-term to make sure they're what you really want, not just in the moment out of your excitement, but something you can commit to and you'll be happy with the result of. The best way to find out whether a goal or an outcome is ecological is to simply imagine that it's already achieved and step into the future and look around you and see how does achieving this goal or how does pursuing this goal affect your family, your friends, yourself. What kind of person are you having to become to create all that you want? Are you moving in the direction emotionally, socially, spiritually, physiologically, and financially that you really want to go? Take a look at the impact. And if it's something that you really want inside and you're committed to it and you like the effect it's having and you like the effect that it's creating, now you know you have an outcome that is truly achievable.